It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Shooting, rebound,
recognizer
scores!
Here comes Chevalier! He'll be thrown out of the game! Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it! Head to head, and Joseph with three great rights!
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500, he shoots, he scores! Brett Hall, number 500!
Tarasenko, in the clear, he scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
All right, welcome inside, everybody. We have once again healthy scratched our good buddy, Jim Cromer. Seems like he might be suffering from dry skin, Kimby. Rolled in today, and I've never seen a man with so much Jergens in his desk. I mean, I know Costco and Sam's Club sell it by the box, but holy shit.
Do you think you could go out and buy stock on it now?
Holy, I'm going to tell you what. I'm calling my guy right now as we speak. I'm texting my stock guy. All in on Jergens. All in. I don't even know what the NASDAQ is for that one, but I'm all in on it.
Of course we got to do that.
Holy shit. One thing's for sure. I mean, we know one guy that's going to keep it going. Anyways, Jimmy, we miss you. Hopefully those forearms are getting better. All right. So as we jump in, Kimby, a lot has been going on here. First of all, a lot of people have texted, tweeted, messaged all this stuff all over Facebook and Instagram and fucking Twitter and everything. How is Brett Hull doing? They want a status on Hully.
You know what, though? You get on Twitter and you get the odd sighting of the man, but it's kind of funny, Rivs, because I think it depends who you are. You know Hully and I know Hully, so we know who he is, and and we know what makes him rock and roll. And I thought what all the shit that he's done, I just think is I sit back and laugh, but that's Hully, so you got to know the man. And but some people take offense to it, and it doesn't bother me. I think it's awesome because I think the man, when he come here back in the day, basically saved hockey in St. Louis was my view of it. Back in, and I play here in 1991, and slightly before that, because I'm from Saskatchewan, because the Blues were almost sold there, right? So Hully comes in, and fucking the popularity of hockey in St. Louis goes through the roof when he scores all these goals. And I always believe, even though Hully went on to win Stanley Cups with Dallas and Detroit, I still always believe that he wanted a Stanley Cup one here in St. Louis. And I don't care what anybody fucking can say to that. He might have went out and done what he did, but he did what he had to do. And to probably come back here and to see that go down market, he was probably with Bernie and Plagues. He was probably right there with them as the fucking one of the most excited guys in St. Louis because he always wanted to see that happen.
Yeah, I agree. Look, Brett Hull, quite honestly, Brett Hull is the St. Louis Blues. Let's be honest here. Because, their inception in 1967 and some unbelievable guys came with that team. With Bobby Plager, Barkley Plager, Red Berenson, Jimmy Roberts. Go down the list. Amazing guys, right? But no one more polarizing than Brett Hull ever in the history of the franchise. And so in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, this guy's putting up 50 goals like it's not even difficult. Mm-hmm. And the Kiel Center was built, and today called the Enterprise Center. It's been several names, but that place doesn't get built, Kimby, without Brett Hull.
Correct.
Like, you know that as well as I do. And the team probably would have had to have been moved without Brett Hull because they wouldn't have got a new stadium and all those other things that came along with it. But what people need to understand, and I think most people get it, but Hully just loves it.
Like, he's the real hockey fan gets it because they've known the man for a long time. The new generation that's come in here lately probably don't understand him that much, but
yeah,
the old generation gets it. Yeah, they do.
Well, I think the people that, rubbed elbows with him or shared a beer
for sure
over the years of being in town, and it's no it's no secret. You and I and every other player who came through St. Louis, we like to have a couple of cold cocktails after the game. And that's why we live in St. Louis, because the people in St. Louis and the times we had are what made us lifers here.
Correct.
And so Brett Hull back in the day and still now likes to have cold sodas and laugh. Who the fuck doesn't like to do that?
Yep. He would be like people like Babe Ruth was in New York on a popular, you go out and, you know, Babe was the guy that would tip the suds back and everything. But that's what Holly was when he was here. And that's why the people loved him so much.
Jesus Christ, Kimby. Did you just compare him to Babe Ruth?
Yes, I did.
That's more, hang on. Seriously, that's wonderful.
Exactly.
Honestly, he is like Babe Ruth. And, you know, the parade and doing all the stuff and the Gloria on stage, which, by the way, somebody's made into a remix now, which it might even be better than the real one.
Yeah, it might be better.
But, yeah, Holly is alive and well. He left St. Louis, went and played in a member guest tournament out where he's from or where one of his places is and did fairly well. But he's enjoyed his time with the Stanley Cup, and like you said, Kimby, he feels like he's been a part of it.
Yep.
And for people who don't know, when Holly left the Blues, it wasn't because he was looking for somewhere else to go. He was kind of told, yeah, we're probably not going to re-sign you. And would they given him, you know, half of what he's worth and kept him? Yeah. Yep. But at the time, he needed to make what Brett Hull should be making at that time, which, can you imagine this fucking day and age? Can you imagine 50, 60, 70, 80 goals?
But not only that, you know, he went through the Keenan era that was there, and people, you know how much fucking they hate that man.
Oh.
And they hated him before he ever got here. And then for him to show up here and then to go about it and pretty well whip on make Holly the whipping boy of the team, you know, that's that sort of, and Holly fighting back like he did a little bit in the media, like Holly does. And I think the people, that's why the people respect the man, because he speaks what he believes in. And most people, when you follow the hockey circles, are along the, like me and you could sit here and talk and not see each other for 3 months, come back and talk, and we're going to be sort of on the same line because you speak the truth to it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I think everyone liked Holly.
I agree. You know, the guy is, in my opinion, Mr. St. Louis Blue. I know Bobby Plager would probably give him a run for his money with that. Mm-hmm. But my point is that he really put the Blues on the map internationally.
For sure.
Not just regionally. So, Holly's alive and well. He's doing great. He's very, very happy the St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup. He's a dear friend of ours. And we love having him around. And tell you what, I'm never, ever not laughing when Holly and I are together. So,
you can.
Gotta love the man. As we move on a little bit, and we'll talk about the Stanley Cup a little more here. The fun thing about the Stanley Cup is once you win it, everybody wants to party with the Stanley Cup. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, the parade was one thing, and then they have, you know, other events. And then, you know, last night was the Blues brought it over to Busch Stadium. Those fans were going crazy, and the players were all taking pictures with it. The Oakland A's were even taking pictures with it, which is incredible because... And correct me if I'm wrong, Kimby, before I drift off here, but do you think there's any other sports trophy in the world that other professional athletes respect more than the Stanley Cup?
I don't think so. I'd be curious, though, like, you know, the tradition with the cup and how, you know, it goes to each person. And, you know, I don't think, like in baseball, that doesn't do that, do they?
That I don't know.
You know, I'd be curious to that. And like football, when Brady and these guys win it all the time, like, do they get something with it? The Stanley Cup was, it's almost like an emblem of a party, a big celebration, because wherever it shows up, people are sure to get drunk and have a good time with it and drink out of it and all kinds of crazy things. But, you know, there's a... It just, to me, was the hardest. I don't care. You'll argue it with me, but it's the hardest trophy to win. I don't care what anyone
says. Why would I argue that with you?
No, I mean, you'll argue on my side.
The fuck am I going to argue that?
You're on my side.
Okay. Jesus Christ, Kimby.
But
I could pick a fight with you over a lot of things. I'm not going to pick a fight with you over that.
No, I mean, on my side on that, because it's the hardest trophy to win, and I think that's where the celebration comes, and I think it's such a long process to get to. You know, the playoffs last for like 2 months, and with the Blues, you know, every series Purdue will win 7 games, and... You know, so the fans, they're going through their emotions with the players on this thing. And so when you finally get to the end and you get to raise that thing, I think just a lot of relief and there's one big hell of a party. And then you got to go celebrate with all the people that you, like the guys you go home and you celebrate with, like your junior coaches or your coaches growing up, your family and all that. Because it's, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think that it's such a respected trophy for so many reasons. Like you just said, it's the hardest trophy physically to win. Yes, the Super Bowl, you could argue that football might be more physical than hockey for one game. Mm-hmm. You, if you had to play the Super Bowl for a best of seven, think about the beating those guys would take, right?
Correct.
So anyways, I mean, I'm not sitting here trying to compare apples to apples here. I know people out there will defend everything or agree with us. I really don't give a shit. I think Stanley Cup is the most respected trophy in sports. I think that any other team that comes by it when it's sitting there wants to either get a picture with it, hold it over their head, kiss it, or drink out of it.
Correct.
I don't see anybody doing that with the World Series trophy. Now, I mean, they probably can't because there's nothing to drink out of, but yeah. You know what I'm saying. It's, you know, just a different thing.
It wasn't, Mike, and I'll even go to my, we had the chance to go to Steve Chapman, a gentleman that works for the Blues pretty high up. And
he got high up. Kimmy, if you're going to name drop, I mean fucking name drop, okay? Executive Vice President of the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
Who is a dear friend of ours and a really good friend of Darren, so keep going.
Yeah. So I coach his boys. This will be the second year I coach him, but I've had a chance to talk to Chappie, you know, and a very down to earth person. And he's got the Boston ties in there. And it's just, he had a chance to get a hold of this cup for about 3 hours, I believe it was, a Sunday night. And he included a bunch of the kids on the hockey team that his kids plays with, like the high school team and our team. And then his daughter's a couple teams that she plays for. And I just thought that was a class act because, you know, people want to, kids, especially kids, they want to get to that Stanley Cup and see what it looks like and put their hand on it or whatever, because that's, you know, that's the trophy that I don't know. I thought when I was young, I guess I had that inspiration to get into the Stanley Cup. And, you know, they talk about game seven, you know, overtime you score, you know, we've lived that one millions of times in our, you know, backyard. And so these kids, the ones that want to follow through with hockey, and I think it's just something. And then, you know, myself included, I went there and I don't think I've ever had a picture with the Stanley Cup before this. And so I got a picture with my family in the Stanley Cup, and my daughter, who just, you know, got right into this hockey playoff thing following the Blues and everything. And, you know, she wanted to be near that dang cup. And so she kissed it and all that. So I thought that was pretty sweet to see.
Yeah, it's, and you talk about Steve Chapman and him extending the invitations, and it was, what I thought was fantastic was with your group, he had a little bit of a starting party or a before party with all the kids and the hockey team and you guys, and then everybody migrated over to a local establishment. I guess it's safe to say at this point, because it's long gone, but Billy G's in Kirkwood, which, by the way, we don't do too many free ads on this thing, but no. It was a tremendous venue. Billy G himself was awesome, and the food was great, and everything was just fantastic night. But yeah, you know, we ended up seeing each other later that night and taking pictures with the cup. And like you talk about, my kids are sitting there, and my two boys play hockey, and they were thrilled about it. Now, my one boy, Haas, didn't want to touch the cup. He's like, I don't want to fuck it up for later, you know?
mine didn't touch it either, but I don't touch it, so that's why.
The other one called him an idiot and wrapped his arms around it and kissed it. So we'll see which one's right as we go along here. But then my two girls, you know, you talk about your daughter, and my two daughters were loving it too. You know, that's a big moment, and they took pictures with the cup. And anyways, I guess my point is that, one, we're very grateful for Chappie to invite us and to be part of his circle of people that he included here in St. Louis, but it lines up for maybe more parties for the rest of the summer. I mean, you and I are benefactors of living in St. Louis, so maybe we'll get a couple more invites, a couple more cocktails out of that bad boy. Either way, I like it. All right, let's see here. Since then, too, we've had to deal with how about this, okay? Doug Armstrong, Craig Berube, and the whole staff, they win the Stanley Cup. We saw the parade. We've seen the parties. We've seen all the stuff. It's been crazy. Oh, by the way, there's the NHL draft. We got to worry about it. So can you imagine having to deal with that? You know, Army's got to get his staff together. And that's why you have a staff, because we all know the GM has the final say. But in this case, Bill Armstrong, no relation to Doug, who's their director of amateur scouting or pro scouting. I don't know. I don't want to fuck that up, but anyways, he's also assistant GM. He handles all the draft picks, for the most part, the rankings of the players. But they turn around, they got to get right back in the draft, Kimby.
Yeah, they got, well, Robbie DeMille's there too. He's an old Western boy. But Robbie was, because I saw it, when I watched the, I watched the draft, and I'll usually only watch the first round of it or something. I just like to look in the crowd and see the old guys that are still hanging around, you know, and because a lot of them are scouts or whatever, and some of our agents. And but, you know, the, so yeah, they had to turn around quick. And like you said, the GM does have the final say, but realistically, the guys that the arms, the like Robbie and these guys, they're the ones that follow this all year long. And you know, Army's not out there following. He's worrying about his big thing and trying to, you know, put everything together. And it's a big job, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you put guys in this situation so they can follow around and scout all these junior teams and colleges and whatever they're doing. And they're the ones that pretty well, their job's on the line, sort of, because they're the ones that drafting these guys.
That's a sort of, it is.
And you look around, and you got guys like Stevie Eiserman now in Detroit, and you got some big names. I see Joe Sakic and Brendan Shanahan and these guys, and they just sort of sit back and they watch these other guys that they've been, you know, appointed to this position that pretty well are making the future of your hockey team. So, you first of all, you got to trust what they're doing. The person that you, and the Armstrong guy, he's been here a long time with the Blues now, and so, and Robbie's been here for a little bit too. And I saw Danny Janelle there too, who his dad Patty was a coach of mine way back in the day. But, you know, I see them all sitting there, and I think it's just to see those guys. And, you know, because I knew Danny when I was back playing, when I was a 16-year-old kid, and to see him up there making decisions for the St. Louis Blues now was just, it's pretty good. Because but that's a big job they got, man. They're that's all hands on with them guys.
Well, especially nowadays when you have to develop your young talent, sure. Because you used to be able to go out and just buy a guy. You don't like your staff, you don't like your players, your lineup. Go trade for somebody, buy a guy, whatever. It didn't matter because there's no salary cap. Well, now you've got to develop from within, yeah. Just in order to stay under the cap. And so it's pretty important.
It was a weird draft too, though, Riz, because the Blues only had four, I think, going in, and then they got a fifth, and then they end up with all the stuff that's going around here, because you got Binnington that just come in and pretty well the superstar of your team to win the Stanley Cup. No one knew what was going on with Jake, and I know you're going to talk about Jake here in a bit, but no one knows what's going on with Jake, and there's a lot of speculation what's going to go on. They draft and Husso's in the works. You know, he's there. They draft two goaltenders.
Two goalies.
You know, you have one farm team. I know you can probably get them out here to the East Coast League and put them there, or they go to college or junior, you know, whatever the process may be. But to see him draft two goalies was a sort of opened my eyes. I wanted to say, what the hell's going on here? And I don't know if it's got any impairing on what happens with Jake or whatever goes on. So it's kind of interesting the way they're going to go forward here.
Yeah, I was surprised with that. I mean, when you look at their depth chart right now, if we do it in order of importance, you would have Binnington, Allen, Husso. They still have the Fitzpatrick kid who played in the Coast, yep. East Coast last year. He actually got some games up in St. Louis because Chief was rotating the backup goalies for a while, and Ville Husso was hurt. So those are your four guys. And
isn't then there a local boy too? Wasn't there a local boy that played for the Triple A Blues at one time?
Mike McKenna?
I'm not sure. I thought there was a kid that got drafted by
goaltender. No, Mike McKenna was, he was here a number of years ago, and then they do have a Triple A goalie up there right now at prospect camp.
Okay.
This week. That's it. Maybe that's it. But he's just prospect.
Okay.
Not drafted, not signed, not property of the Blues.
Okay.
Just for the experience, which is great for him. Young kid here from St. Louis, but great for him. But yeah, so you got your four guys, and then you've got two draft picks. So like you said, do they go to college? Do they go to junior? Where do they fit in? Well, obviously at 18, they still have eligibility to do anything.
Correct.
As far as not playing pro hockey. So we'll see where that leads. I thought it was an interesting maneuver based on the fact that you already have, three NHL caliber goalies. Mm-hmm. And I'll put Husso in there because, you know, people may not know this, but if Ville Husso's not hurt,
for sure,
halfway through the season, guess what, folks? Jordan Binnington doesn't play for the St. Louis Blues.
I'd be curious on that. I know what you're saying. I know where that theory goes, but I still think with Binnington, if the Blues would have, if that didn't turn around at that point in time when Binnington got there, you know, because he is Chiefs guy.
Yeah, but Husso is the guy.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm telling you, and Chief, as much as he's an awesome guy and a fantastic coach, a Stanley Cup champion coach.
Yeah.
At the time, the team was struggling. You know as well as I do, Doug Armstrong's making those moves.
Yeah, he's making them, correct.
Because if you're on a coaching search and you haven't taken the interim tag off your guy, you're not letting the roster changes be in his hands.
Exactly.
So
that's true.
Ville Husso would have been the backup goalie and would have been given Jordan Binnington's opportunity.
Correct.
Now, from there, who knows, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's crazy to think that, because we could be sitting here right now talking about how the Blues are rebuilding now, or how it didn't go well, or how frickin' Ville Husso was the guy that took him to the Stanley Cup. Who knows, right? I mean, there's a lot of what ifs. It's a little bit of a Twilight Zone. We have to be very careful with that.
I still think there's going to be a, you're going to go through a free agency process here, and this is going to be interesting with the Blues, because I believe Binnington comes back no matter what, because I think he's got a space, a home here, and he's loved by these fans, and he's got a coach that likes him, which is a real big part of it.
Well, let's jump into it. I mean, what the hell? Let's jump into it. So we got Binnington, who's a restricted free agent. I think he made $650,000 last year, $650,000 up in the NHL. Jake Allen scheduled to make, what, $4.3 million next year. Now, everybody's so ready to trade Jake Allen. Mm-hmm. Now, we got to get rid of 4.3. Oh, my God. You can't have a backup goalie 4.3. So we'll get to Jake in a second, okay? Yeah. So now Jordan Binnington, he's got arbitration rights this year. So if he doesn't like what the Blues offer him initially, he can say, well, I'm going to go to arbitration. I wouldn't recommend that. Mm-hmm. And even though he just won the Stanley Cup, he has a very small body of work on his resume in the NHL. And so it's going to be tough for him to go to arbitration, because they don't look at what he did to turn the team. They just look at the analytics of it.
Yep.
Where does he fit in? And his stats, even though they were Stanley Cup worthy, and the timing of his games probably more important than the actual stats that he brought to the table. Yep. So they won't look at that. So I don't think arbitration's on the table for Jordan Binnington. I do think that we're looking at a two-year deal for him. And I think you're going to get him at 2 and 2.5. So 4.5 over 2 years. Now, that's my thoughts on it. I think it's a tremendous raise. And I know some people think, oh, he's worth it. He's a number one goalie. No, he isn't. He was for this stretch run. But what if he comes back and he's not lighting up the world? And now, if you give him a 3 or 4 year deal, what then? And I'm not disrespecting Jake Allen, but what if he becomes Jake Allen?
Exactly.
So you got to be careful, right, Kimby?
I agree with that, because he's been around for, 6 years in the minors, rolled around in that, and then he gets a hold of Chief gets a hold of him, I think, in Chicago for a short period of time and had success with him. And then he gets up here and he has success with him. So I think the future is hopefully bright there, because I think the kid's got the – he's got the fire in his belly, and I think he's just – he wants to – he's a kid you can love if you follow hockey. I understand where he's with the Jake Allen thing. That's a lot of money on the table. The only reason I say that, Ribs, is because I don't think the fans here are going to stand behind Jake Allen. So, he's going to come back in, and I think there was a confidence level with the players, with the fans, especially now when – I've always liked Jake as a goaltender on here. I've always said that he struggled with confidence. I know that. But now that when Binnington comes in and he goes on and wins, you know this and I know this, the fans I don't think they turn back towards that. And unless something happened to Binnington and then all of a sudden he comes in and lights it up and gets going on that parade, which could possibly happen. I'm not saying it doesn't, but I myself thinking. And I'm looking at it from afar. I don't know what Jake Allen's going to do, but I would like to see Jake Allen get the hell out of St. Louis and go start new, and hopefully something good with him, because I think he's a good goaltender. I really do. And
he's played a lot of damn good hockey. Yeah. He just hasn't been elite.
Correct.
Yeah. So here's where I am on this, and I've done a little homework. Okay. Uh-oh. Imagine that. First time in my life I've done homework. Okay.
I never did that shit.
No. And I talked to a couple of NHL GMs around the league, and most of them are talking about a $7 million umbrella, okay? And that's what they want to have both of their goalies fall under in total dollars spent. Now, you have your elite goalies, the Lundqvist, the Carey Price, and Tuukka Rask, or what. Some of those guys are making $7, $8, $9, $10 million, and Bobrovsky's probably going to hit bank too because they're unique talents. But most teams try to keep their goalies, both goalies, under $7 million is their goal for that position. So here's where I go with it. The last four Stanley Cup champions have had 1A and 1B goalies. You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, went back-to-back with Murray and Fleury. There I am rhyming again.
There you go.
Fantastic, yeah. Right? So they went back-to-back with those two guys. Go to Washington. They win with Holtby and Grubauer. Yeah. Grubauer started the damn playoffs as the number one goalie. He's obviously not the number one Holtby has been for years, but my point is he was good enough that Barry Trotz thought, holy shit, maybe this is the guy to make our run. Then you fast forward to this year, St. Louis Blues, Jordan Binnington, Jake Allen. Do you see a trend?
Yeah.
The trend is you have to have 1A and 1B. Now, if I go back to my $7 million umbrella, you take Jake Allen at 4.3, you put Jordan Binnington at $2 million, that's $6.3 million. You're under that umbrella, that hidden umbrella that these GMs are talking about. And even if you go 2.5, what does that bring you to 6.8? You're still under that umbrella with two damn good goalies. What we have to be careful of, Kimby, we can't get caught up in the words starting goalie or backup goalie. Yeah. You can't get caught up in those because in this situation, it's flip-flopped where your starting goalie is making backup goalie money and your backup goalie is making starting goalie money. It is what it is, right? And I think they leave it this way. And based on conversations that I've had and things that I'm reading, I think Doug Armstrong feels the same way too.
I can go there with you, but there's a word called ego that's going to fly into this.
I know, category. But here's the thing, okay? And you're right, 100%. But here's what I'm telling Jake Allen if I'm Doug Armstrong. I'm saying, one, I got you under contract for two more years, so you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. Bottom line.
Yeah, but my ego's not with Jake Allen, though. My ego's with what goes on with Mr. Binnington.
But he's not going to give a shit.
All of a sudden, and you've been there and I've been there, there's a guy that sits there that works for you that you pay money to that gets you contracts. And I know when he's coming to the table, he's coming and saying, here's my goaltender, here's Allen. You're going to tell me that you're going to pay him $2 million more than me?
Different situation. But it's totally different, Kimby.
I know what goes on, though.
Jordan Binnington just played 32 regular season games. Jake Allen got to $4 million after five or 6 years.
I'm talking about an agent here that's going to sit there, and you know that, and I know that.
But then it's Mike Liut, and Liut's smart.
Yeah.
He's going to realize he's a former goalie, St. Louis Blue. He just witnessed it.
If you just took your team to the Stanley Cup and – I'll even reverse. Let's get out of the goal center and go to a defenseman. And you're a top four defenseman, and the other three guys are making $6 million, or just say, and you're making $1 million, and you played as many minutes as they did. You played more minutes than they did because that's what Binnington did. And you're going to say, well, because the window in the NHL is so small, and you got it. And I know where you're going and what you're doing, but the window is so small, and you could have an injury, and you could be done, and you could, you know. So you got to go get your money when it's sitting there.
I don't disagree that you're allowed to think that way. The problem is even if you're a number four or five defenseman making $1 million, if you've put together five or six good years like the top two guys are on defense and that's why they're making the big money, then yes, you're deserving of that. If you put together 1 year, you can't just go and try to win the lottery.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I know people do that.
I mean,
that,
that's like going from first to fifth gear in a car. Like, fuck, that doesn't work out very well. You can try it, though.
You're correct in what you're saying, but I know how people think. So I know there's an agent that wants money also.
Yeah.
And so I know.
Well, the agent does, but I think the agent, if he plays his cards right, not only does he get the contract now, he stays his agent and he'll be along for the ride and continue to get paid.
Because he's going to want to close that gap with Mr. Allen.
Yeah, but you have to look at it. Jake Allen is a separate entity here, and it's a what do you call that? An anomaly. Mm-hmm. Because ordinarily we mentioned it earlier, your backup goalie doesn't make more than your starting goalie, but this is a unique situation.
Correct.
And so if we go back to that, Jordan Binnington, as great as he played, he's not worth more than $2.5 million right now. $3 million tops, because he really hasn't proven that he can consistently do this. So it's like running a race, right?
Yep.
So if you're a 100-meter fucking sprint in the Olympics, you win one fucking race, you win the gold medal, but then you're last place every other time you run after that.
But you see these contracts all the time. I know that way.
But he's also got 6 years he's played in the minors where he hasn't been able to play in the NHL.
But your importance too is, though, and my argument to this one is, Riv, your importance is your goaltender, as he just shown this playoff season, has to be your best player.
And, no doubt. And you're going to pay him that way. Yeah. You just can't pay him astronomically for one performance.
But he's going to go chase his money. And I don't think, with Allen sitting there, what's Armstrong going to sit there and say, well, okay, well, then we're going to just fight this out or whatever. And And I'm going to go, you're not going to go back to Allen. I don't give a shit what he says.
No, but if you, here's the thing, okay? And it's not going back to Allen because Binnington doesn't play well. So let's forget about that, okay? But what if, knock on wood, wooden table in here, so I covered all the bases. What if Jordan Binnington has a hip injury?
Correct.
20 games into the season next year? And this is why I brought up the last four Stanley Cup champions. Because each of those teams has had a goalie in their backup role who's been able to carry the mail when someone's been injured. Murray, 2 years in a row, he got hurt.
Jake's not that, though. I don't care. He's not that. Because
Kimby, he put together still what?
And I like Jake Allen as a goaltender. I'm just saying, here in St. Louis, Jake Allen's never going to get that fucking opportunity. I don't care what happens.
Well, I just think that your value on Jake Allen.
I
like
what you're saying, and I hope it works out that way, but I'm just saying, I don't see that.
Okay. But your value on Jake Allen, okay? And if I'm Doug Armstrong, I tell Jake this. One, if I'm Doug Armstrong, I'm not trading Jake Allen right now. Why? His stock isn't high. Mm-hmm. Why would you trade a guy that's making starters money? Nobody's going to fucking pick that up, first of all. Not unless you float out something really good with him.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to pick it up.
Don't you think, though, that Jake Allen sort of sits in the hands of a couple of free agents here that they're going to sign money and there's a salary cap involved? And I think if these guys are going to want to go get an Edmondson or sign him to some money if he wants it or whoever else, Patty, I don't know what he's going to want. And I'm just saying, there could be some guys that come up here that make that salary cap get a little tighter.
They could.
And then they could say, Mr. Allen, I need to trade you out of here to save some room for that salary cap.
Okay. But you're only trading Jake if you can include Robbie Fabry or somebody else in the trade.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you got to dump. If you're dumping, you got
to
dump.
Yeah. But I think they can dump and still, because they're going to have to sign some of these guys back.
But here's where we run into problems, Kimby. Okay. Is Jake Allen, although you don't think he's that guy to be the backup, the 1B, I think he can carry the team for 15 to 20 games. And keep them competitive while Binnington is hurt or not. And if Binnington's not hurt, guess what? Jake can get that 20 to 25 starts. Yeah, you start him on the road. Who gives a fuck?
Yep.
Right? He can get you those games.
I'm not disagreeing with you there.
But here's where I'm going to finish my thought on this is if Jake Allen doesn't like that situation, then Doug Armstrong's comment to him is simple. Play so good, Jake, that my phone doesn't stop ringing for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what do you want me to do? Because who else, and let's just be the devil's advocate, who's going to be your backup then, Kimby? Ville Husso? No, can't do it.
Yeah, well, I don't.
He played half a season last year. He hasn't played tremendous in the American Hockey League. His stats are average. He's not ready to, do you want to take a goal you're supposed to develop and put him in for 20 starts?
No, I agree.
So
I agree.
Then who's your next guy? Fitzpatrick? The guy was in the East Coast last year.
Yep.
Then are you going to go sign another goalie like Chad Johnson, like they did last year, for $2 million? He comes in and he can't get hit with a fucking beach ball?
Yeah.
No.
I see your point.
I would rather stay with Jake Allen.
Yeah, and if it does work out that way, the Blues are going to be okay with it. I just don't. I just see some other muddling going on there. So
I don't disagree with you. I'm just kind of looking at it from an analytical standpoint here.
It works good for the – if the Blues keep him in that, I totally understand because there is an insurance policy – to a certain extent with Jake there, but there's a confidence policy that's not coming with him to a certain extent.
But that's all right. He's going to be your backup goalie.
Yeah.
So let's forget that he makes $4 million.
Yeah.
He's going to be your backup goalie. And if he plays great, guess what? Somebody's going to want him.
Correct.
Because Carolina right now is without a goalie.
Yep.
Period dot. And I don't know what Florida's going to do if they don't get Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
Luongo just retired.
Yep.
So there are going to be some openings, but Jake Allen's going to have to be worthy of being traded for. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. No, I agree.
So
I agree.
Anyways, as we move on, brings us into other guys that are in interesting territory. One thing here that I want to look at is Patty Maroon and Carl Gunnarsson. Rumor on the street is there's interest, certainly interest in Carl Gunnarsson right now. A lot of teams are very interested. To what dollar amount? I don't know. But my feeling on Carl Gunnarsson is that, and I've called them the vanilla ice cream before, where, you know, nothing fancy, but goddamn good vanilla ice cream is good, you know? And I found him to be a real calming effect for Petro when they were partners. I found that Petro played his best hockey paired with Carl Gunnarsson. So it's going to be interesting to see here how the Blues handle this because, like you just said, they're up against the cap and Joel Edmondson's going to want to get paid.
Yep.
Why? Because last year he took a team-friendly deal in order for the Blues to sign the guy who we're going to talk about next, Patty Maroon. So what are you doing with Carl Gunnarsson?
I don't have a problem, but when I'm thinking of Gunnarsson, is this is where the draft for the Blues was a little weary to me, because even though he had five, I would have went and got some defensemen. I would have tried to find some young defensemen to throw in the system to start building my defensive core up. I know there's a couple guys down there they talked about, and the Rinky kid or whatever.
Is that Rinky is very much offensively gifted, you know, really good.
Is he top dog, though, to come up and make the team next year from the – is that the guy?
He'd be a 6'7".
Yeah.
He's small.
But I mean, in the minors, though, is he the top dog? Is he the first guy on the
– Number one defense.
Number one. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to bring him in. So if you bring him in, then – and I agree with you totally with the way Gunnarsson played in the playoffs and that. It would be nice to have him back there as a solid, you know, because your goaltender is your best, but your decor helps that out. And there's a bond that they make together, and people are comfortable when they're in that bond. You know,
especially the guys loved Gunny.
Yeah,
they love him as a teammate.
But I just, depending where, again, so you win the Stanley Cup, and just like any other sport, when you win something, other teams are trying to pry away from you because you got something, and everybody wants a Stanley Cup winner because it just brings something to the table that. Other teams, you know, there's not a lot of them floating around out there, and it brings some experience to your team and how to get to that Stanley Cup, and hopefully they can add to it. So the dollar amount gets too high. I can see him leaving and walking away. I can see the Blues walking away from it because, like you said, there's some players that they're going to have to pay here. And where does Patty Maroon know? Is Patty Maroon probably
going to... Hang on, before we get to Maroon.
But I'm just saying, is he going to stay, you know, is he going to do a discount? What's going to afford that? I don't know that, but... I think Gunnarsson's going to demand some money. So is Edmondson. He's going to want some money too.
Well, man. Edmondson's going to want close to $4 million, yeah. And he's going to want probably a 4 or 5 year deal.
Correct.
Because he was going to be like, hey, guys, listen, last time was the nudge, yeah. wink, handshake, you know, yeah. So we could get Patty Maroon, or at least whoever, player X, although we believe it's Pat Maroon, to fit under the cap. Now, I think Carl Gunnarsson is gone.
I think he is too.
I love the guy. Personally, I think he's an amazing guy. I got to spend some time with him this year. Fuck, I've never met a Swedish guy I didn't like. For real, Kimby, though, right? Like, how many Swedish guys you play with? Have you ever really sat there and go, oh, that guy's an asshole?
Yeah,
no, never.
Not at all.
And so Carl Gunnarsson's a great guy, great teammate. The guys love him. He played fantastic hockey, but here's where I'm at with Carl Gunnarsson. He was injury prone this year. I mean, he's only played 20-some games. He had injury problems leading right up into the playoffs where he had to come back two games into the Winnipeg series or whatever it was, so... He's getting up there in hockey years. Yeah. He's not putting together full seasons healthy.
Yep.
He made $3 million, I think, last year. And I think that he's going to command 2 to 3.5 on the open market, which I think is too much for where he's going to be slotted based on the Edmondson thing. So yep. I guess in conclusion, I think that Carl Gunnarsson is gone,
yep.
Unfortunately. We love you, Gunny. We thank you for your service. We got a Stanley Cup ring because you were so great.
Yep.
But good luck the rest of the way. Now, moving on to Pat Maroon. This one's interesting. There's a little bit of a buzz around the NHL of people wanting to kick the tires on Pat Maroon. And why is that, Kimby?
Because you got a Stanley Cup ring.
Stanley Cup ring. And why? How did the Blues win a Stanley Cup?
Well, they won it with grit.
With grit and big guys, bodies, big right? Bodies, yes. Big bodies. So, once again, and I'm sure that's up your alley here, and what makes you smile, the NHL's going back to some big boys.
Well,
a little more grit.
You know what? I'll tell you a quick little story before you get there. We had some work done at our house, and there was a guy there, and he was talking to me. It was kind of funny because he tried out for a junior team that I coached 20 years ago. And I'd cut the kid. So he's back there doing some work for me. And I'm going, oh, Jesus.
I'd be watching that work.
Yeah, exactly. But he was going through the process. And I was talking to him. I said, well, you just look at how the Stanley Cup was won this year. I said, the Blues won it old school. Not with fighting, but with big bodies and hitting everything going. I said, and the Boston Bruins were in that same category. They played the same style of game. And I said, I don't know if the NHL likes that because – the guys that run the NHL, they like the little guys, 150 pounds, flying around and making a score and 150 points and all that. But I said the old school one. So I said that was kind of, I liked how that went and it was sort of a throwback. And I said, I hope some other teams are going to start to buy into that shit.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was.
But that goes by my little story to where I was talking about it already. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. And I liked it. You know, I'm not a big guy. I mean, you know, 6'1", probably 200 pounds now, wink, wink.
Yeah.
But no, when I played, you know, 6'1", 190, you know, not a big guy by any standards, but I loved playing in a big man's game. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I thought the physicality was great. And I think that that's been missing a little bit here. Now we get so many suspensions and the game has changed so much. So comparing it is ludicrous. And I'm not trying to do that. But what I'm saying is the LA Kings won two Stanley Cups based on being big and heavy and mean and all those things. It went away. There were some copycats right after that to try.
Washington was big.
Washington, you're bang on, dude. That's where I was headed is you look at Wilson, Ovechkin, Orpik, Carlson. You look at their entire lineup. Yeah. Even Backstrom's a big guy.
Yeah. I think Vegas is a big team too, aren't they?
Vegas is big. Yeah. Oh, fucking right. They're big, especially on D.
Winnipeg's big.
Like Winnipeg's a big team.
Yeah.
And Nashville's not small.
No.
Jesus Christ. Last year they had Boyle, Simmons, Subban. Yep. All these other guys are big dudes. So the NHL trending in a direction of speed and skill, but if you're a big man and can possess the puck, you're a fucking bonus.
Yeah.
So and if you're a big man who can fly around and do all those things, well, Jesus, you're gold.
So when you go to talk about Patty.
So, yeah, back on track here with Patty Maroon. How do you think this plays out? Because this guy now, I mean, I'll tell you what, he walked into a room the other day and they were playing this. No. I mean, right? Hometown hero.
He owns this town. This town right here, after what he did.
How do you leave that?
Yeah, I know. And I don't, he's got his boy there too, and the whole story goes on. And, he's going to be a hero here for, you know, like you said, you shouldn't have to pay for a drink or a meal out. And so he's going to, if I was in his situation, I'd have a hard time walking away from that.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If you're Doug Armstrong right now, let's flip the script for a second. If you're Doug Armstrong, are you bringing him back? And what is your price in order to bring him back?
Well, I'm here's my thing is there's a thing with Berube, and I think Berube likes him. And I think that's a big start right there. So if your coach is wanting you, no matter wherever you played at, if a coach is going to have a little bit of say to when he talks to the general manager, he's going to say, I like this guy. I need this guy on my team. I want him. And the coach is going to, or the general manager is going to have to go find a way to get it there and get it done. Now, where do you, you know, I'm not saying he has to take a discount, even though they won the Stanley Cup and, you know, he plays a part of the Stanley Cup. He's got, you know, he scores some timely goals and everything, but he's getting to the end of his reign here as a player. So I don't think they're going to have to go out and, you know, I think he could probably go out and try to get some negotiating going to help himself out to get the number built up a little bit. But in all reality, probably, I think Armstrong should know that he probably can get this guy for a certain amount of money. And I don't know what it's going to be. What did he play for last year?
Was 1.75.
1.7. And you probably can get him for a little less than that, or you can get him for around there, 1.5. Probably.
I agree. If I'm Doug Armstrong, I'm saying, Patty, here's the deal. They love you here in St. Louis. You are the mayor right now. Hometown hero, whether it's self-proclaimed or not. You are. Game 7, double overtime, doesn't get any bigger.
Yep.
Right? I tell you what, short story as I break into this. At camps this summer, and, you know, I run the hockey camp, Synergy Hockey. We do camps all summer long. And the biggest trouble we have is kids stopping in front of the net and putting a rebound in after they shoot the puck. Mm-hmm. And so now every time they miss it, I call the kids in. And I go, who watched the Stanley Cup playoffs? I did. I go, anybody see the double overtime goal that Pat Maroon scored? They go, oh, yeah, Pat Maroon. Of course, St. Louis kids are like, oh, my God, Pat Maroon, right? I go, where was he when he scored that? Well, he was right. He was going to the net. I go, what was he getting? Rebound. I'm like, exactly. I go, you guys want to be the next Pat Maroon? You got to go to the net, put your rebound in. Perfect. So anyways, that's our little teaching moment of the day. Sponsored by Synergy Hockey. Anyways, back on topic here. Big Patty Maroon does a great job of showing up when it matters most. But I think you got to look at him and say, Patty, all I have is 1.5 to 1.7 for you.
Yep.
And it's going to be a one-year deal.
Yep.
And the reason it's a one-year deal is because even though we love you, even though I love Pat Maroon and you love Patty, the NHL's continuously evolving with younger, faster players and this and that. Patty is a big body. He came back from an injury. And it's always a wild card when guys get up to the 30-year-old range and they're big guys. You got to be careful because sometimes from year to year, there's a little drop-off. mean, look at Milan Lucic as an example, right? I love the guy still, but it's unfortunately he's starting to David yep. Backes is another guy, you know? Yep. So if I'm Army, I look at Patty and say, I love you. I want to keep you here. Chief loves you. But we're looking at like 1.5 to 1.7.
Because mm-hmm. I think there's some leadership there that he can bring back to the room and where he can be a, you know, he's probably, I don't know the locker room, but I know he's an outspoken kid. So I know he's probably, you know, the people are going to listen to him in the locker room.
They love him.
You know, so.
They love yeah. Big Rig.
So there's a, that's a bonus to you too, you know. And
guys like Ryan O'Reilly, when yeah. they go out of their way to tell other people, including me, that he just loves the rig.
Yeah.
You know, and that's. Says a lot because Ryan O'Reilly, let's be honest, he's part of your leadership group
for sure.
Whether he wears a letter or not,
yep,
he's one of your guys
for sure.
So I imagine that there's going to be some conversations with Chief and with the leadership group and with Army. Personally, I hope he resigns here. I think he will, and I think it's going to be in the 1.5 to 1.7.
Yeah, there's going to be a few of them guys, not resigning wise though, but you know, and I know Steiner's sitting there. And he made, you know.
Well, you know, we'll add Steiner to the conversation.
I just thought of it because I want you to, because I'm not.
You want a dog on him. This is what Kimby wants to take Steiner outside behind the shed and.
No, that's not because you know what? But he went and played on the fourth line. Everyone said he had to, you know, suck up his. No, he had to do that or he wasn't playing because that's where his game is right now. And I. Do I think he did a good job? Yes, I do think he did a good job.
Oh, he was spectacular. Yes. Come on, Kimby.
No, he did.
Come on. Give him some love.
But the other guys that he was playing with, you know, they were the piss and vinegar of the team, sort of, and because they were starting every game. They were, you know, and Steen bought into it, and he played the same way, and he did well. So not that there's first, second, third, fourth lines. I know you don't want to get into that process, but
yeah.
You're paying a guy that much money to sit down there, and is he I hear from other people, I don't know the guy very well, but I hear from other people that he's, you know, he does great things in the community and all that. And
he's an unbelievable team guy. Yeah. He's a leader. He's so awesome.
Is that worth the five or whatever they're going to pay him again? I don't know. You know,
that's the problem, right? If you look at the $5 million, 5.6 or whatever it is, 5.7, I'm sure people will Google it. I don't really give a shit. Yeah. Let's just say 5.5 just to get in the area.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I know it is. And he's got this year and next year.
Correct.
So that's the problem. If he had 1 year left, you can maybe sit here and go, hey, Steiner, guess what? We're not going to renegotiate with you. We're going to play out your year, and we'll see where it goes from there. I thought he was spectacular in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I do know that, yes, if you look at his price tag, people are going to judge him immediately. But when it was crunch time, when the paychecks don't matter anymore in playoffs, and the reason I say that, and you know this, and people listening may not know this, your paycheck stops when the regular season ends. You don't get paid anymore as a hockey player. And so for guys to step up in the playoffs and play as well as they do or sacrifice the way they do when they're not being paid, you can no longer say, well, he's overpaid or he's well paid. No, it's about wanting to win. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Alexander Steen and paired with Sundqvist and Barbashev, holy fuck, Kimby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a third line on any other team in the league.
The way that Berube played Sundqvist, he played him more than a third liner. I'll promise you that.
I know. Right now, well, he played almost 20 minutes a game.
The guy was, as you watched it go through the process, he's sort of his go-to guy in a lot of situations. Even, you know, when a centerman was out, and I remember playing in the Boston, he was coming in and double-shifting.
Yeah.
And he put up a lot of minutes. So, and I'll tell you what, I wasn't a fan of him at the start of the season. And
he got saved by getting his head bashed in by Tom Wilson.
Correct. But the game of hockey is, and you know this as well as anybody, if you have a coach that loves you, you'll go through any fucking wall in the world for that coach, as long as he's respecting you. And from all signs, that's what Chief does. You know, he gives everyone the respect. And so it was a sort of like a, when he got to be the coach, this kid came out of nowhere. And rightfully so. He played himself to where he got it. And I can't say enough good things about him. God, because he played unbelievable in the playoffs, man.
Well, the big thing to look at for both him and Barbashev is they both got suspended for one game. The Blues lost those games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, one player doesn't make or break the team, but it nullified that line a little bit because
they hit everything.
Barbashev and Sonny were incredible. Steiner was like the brains out there. You know, he's always in the right spot, put the puck in the right place, and let these two wild young stallions just go. And they got in there and hit everything that fucking moved. Yep. And if they missed or something wrong, Steiner was there to help play defense, to back guys up. Yep. Steiner blocked a tremendous amount of shots as well in the playoffs. So I'm not going to spend too much time on Steiner because, look, I love the guy. I think he's got a lot of value to every team. Does he have 5.6, 5.7 worth of value anymore? No, he doesn't. But Doug Armstrong will figure that out. I'm not going to get involved in that.
I like to get on it because I like throwing you off in your topics there. But there's another kid that's got an S, S to the start of his name.
Don't be fucking staring at my sheet.
No, but there's another kid that's got an S
Who?
To the start of his name out there that wants some money too, doesn't he?
Who's that?
Doesn't Mr. Shen want some money?
Well, Shenner's still got a year
left
on his deal. And now he's going to be fucking foaming at the mouth because Kevin Hayes just got, what, $7 million a year?
Yeah.
You got to be shitting me. So I don't even know.
But they've been. But I'm just the only reason I said that is because you know when you I'm not in the circle you're in where you know a lot of shit going on, but you hear stuff going on through NHL or whatever, and Shen's name's popped up here a little bit.
Well, because he's up for extension, right? Yeah. So July 1st, Doug Armstrong's allowed to extend his contract to add 2, 3, 4 years to his deal.
Correct.
But I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Like, I love Braden Shen, and, you know, I just don't know how you keep him.
Not for that money.
But he's going to want $7 million. Sure. Kevin Hayes is there. He's going to want, you know, let's say it's a 3-year deal. He's going to want like $6-7-7-5.
Yep. If you're watching the playoffs, so if I'm a coach on another team or something, I liked what he did.
Well, trust me, I love Braden Shen. I love the way he plays. I love everything money, about this guy.
You got a salary cap there, huh?
And you got Robert Thomas, though, waiting in the weeds to take that number two center job.
Correct.
So you're kind of stuck, you know, you're in between a rock and a hard place because you got Braden Shen, who everybody loves, and you know how valuable he is, but you got a young buck who you know what he can do now. You know what the ceiling is for this kid. It's high.
Yep.
And you're not going to have to pay that young buck $7 million right away.
For a while, yeah.
So I don't know. Shenner's down the road. Personally, and I think I speak for you two, we would love to see number 10 stay in a Blues uniform for the rest of his career.
Yes, exactly.
So let's hope that both sides can put their thinking hats on and get a deal done.
Correct.
But time will tell. Now, the guys I do want to get to here before we get too far, we've done a real good job here today, buddy, of staying on track. I mean, my ADD, I don't know if I was on the medication today or not.
I'm trying to throw you off.
I got a little bit of Red Bull, but not too bad. You have been trying to fuck with me a little bit. That's okay.
Well, you don't have to listen to the fucking dum-dum on the other side now. Cromer's ain't here, so we don't have to.
Oh, Jimmy Jurgens?
Yeah.
Fucking Jimmy Jurgens.
JJ.
JJ, that's his new name. Everybody at home, make sure you tweet at JCromer4, Jimmy Jurgens. All right. But, yes, yeah, sticking on Sundqvist and Barbashev here, we'll touch on this really quickly because I know time's getting up there, and there's a couple more things I want to hit on, too, is what do you do with these guys? Like, yeah, you resign. They're restricted free agents. They got their qualifying offers. They really don't have any rights.
Yeah. No.
So no. I believe Barbashev, maybe both, have arbitration rights. And if that's the case, then odds are it can be usually these guys, these deals get done without arbitration.
Yeah. Because he's basically, not that they're Bennington, but they're sort of guys that just come out of they got the same track. They got the same history with Bennington coming here. There's not much track record with either one of them.
No.
So
their coming out party was this year specifically the Stanley Cup playoffs.
They're probably wanting to get like a 3-year deal where they can get some comfortable money in them. And then that 3-year deal will try to propel them into their next contract is what they would probably be hoping for right now.
I think both of these players made $1 million or less this year. I know Sonny made $950,000. I don't know off the top of my head what Barbashev made. I can't imagine he made more than $1 million.
Yeah.
If he did, it was $1 million on the thing.
Yeah.
I'd say both these guys come in somewhere between the 1.7 and 2 million.
Yeah, I think that's a good number.
You know, that might even be high.
Yeah,
you know, correct. Because what kind of value do you put on Barbashev? His numbers weren't tremendous all year, although he did have quite a few goals. And I mean, both players got to double digits on goals. And holy fuck, he scored 20 goals in the NHL. Now you make $6 million.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But I think they're going to be reasonable. I think both guys want an opportunity. They're both young. So let's just imagine that they move up in the rankings here in the team position anyways.
Yeah.
I think both these guys get done without arbitration. Probably a 3-year deal each.
Something like that, yeah.
All right. let's see here. Oh, one thing we haven't brought up yet before we get to some obscure things is our boy, Craig Berube. Mm-hmm. Yesterday. Yep, nice and fresh. Brand new 3-year deal for the Chief. The crowd goes wild, as they should.
Yeah, but if people were following the Fox thing, they would see the big ribs up there giving the interview, huh?
The old Chief.
Good job done, too.
Thanks, buddy. It was actually, I have so much more respect for the guys that do that job. Now, obviously, we'll talk about Craig Berube, and we're sidetracked a little, but you're sitting there, and you're conducting the interview, and people who do TV, too, and you have this earpiece in, okay? Mm-hmm. And the earpiece, when I'm at the desk, they're always talking to you throughout the whole thing. So it's literally like having someone talk to you while you're talking. That's pretty difficult.
Yeah.
And the only thing I compare it to is if your cell phone's on the fritz, you know, and you're talking to somebody and you've got a kickback on your cell phone and it's your voice is talking back to you and you, yeah. It's hard to think, right?
Yep.
So that's what's basically happening when you're sitting at the desk. Well, yesterday, you know, we're doing on-site interviews with Army and with Chief and talk about like, those are pretty big interviews. Like yep. You're getting the two top guys in the organization. The only thing else would be Tom Stillman,
correct?
Which I probably would have been more relaxed with Tom Stillman. And I know Doug well, and I know Chief really well. So it's not like I was nervous or didn't think, you know, they didn't want to do the interview, whatever. But I got this kickback going on in my ear where I can hear myself talking and Doug talking at the same time. And the guy who's in the truck telling me, you know, how much time we have. I got three voices in my head. Now I'm used to that, okay? I'm used to about 4 or 5 in there. There's usually a party going on. But it was difficult. And so I was fucking shit scared. I was like, God damn it. As it's happening, you're like, this is a shit show. It's a fucking train wreck. There's no, this has got to look like shit right now.
You did a good job, man.
So, yeah, job. Thank you. I had the opportunity to check it out. I bust out of there after I was like, went to the truck. I'm like, play that back. And the guy's like, why? What's wrong? It was great. I'm like, holy fuck. I'm like, that seemed like a goddamn disaster. But anyways, yeah, back on Chief. Much deserved.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
Fuck. I mean, it was a no-brainer. We've talked about it. We've tweeted about it. You name it. Everybody knew that the interim tag was coming off of Craig Berube. I don't know the dollar amount that was given. I would imagine 3 years, probably 3.5, 4.5, heavy in the last year. And that's usually coach protected, meaning that, you know, that's a year you usually get fired. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true.
Yes, it is.
It's the truth. And hopefully Craig Berube's a coach in St. Louis for the rest of time, because I think that he's that good. And I think the players love him.
Players like playing for him. He's got the right people in there that gravitate to that kind of coach. So that's a good fit for him.
Well, and that's what the number one thing that the player said is that, you know, just for people who don't know necessarily the ride that we've been on here, Mike Yeo gets relieved of his duties. Chief comes in, the team's in shambles. Mm-hmm. All that anybody will talk about is how they can't put together 60 minutes. They're a fragile group and they have no confidence. Chief goes in. One of the first things he does, he tears down the standings in the locker room. Get rid of those. Because you don't need that reminder. You already know you're not playing well. Why do you got to look at your team in the bottom all the time? Every day you walk in, it's depressing, right? First thing you see for the Blues locker room when you walk in is a standings board. Fuck, goodbye. He took it all down. Said, fuck it. Doesn't matter what the standings say. We're literally living day to day. So that changed things. And then day to day they got better. And so what was impressive to me was not only did he instill the confidence back into the group, but then he got it to a point quickly, mind you, where he held them accountable. Imagine that. You've got a bunch of fragile guys. So think about this. If you're a fragile group and a guy takes over and starts sitting guys, do you think you're going to get fucking confident?
No.
So Chief and his coaching staff, everybody involved, had to build this group up quickly and then hold them accountable quickly. Mm-hmm. So what a masterful job, because that's the number one thing that the players talk about is how he was just even, like, across the board. If you're Vladdy Tarasenko, your rule book might be just a little bit different, but tell you what, Vladdy played like his rule book was the same as everybody's. And that's the big thing is Chief held, you know, player 1 and player 20 on your roster to the same rules.
The biggest thing that would help him out when he's trying to orchestrate what he was trying to do, what you just explained, when they went on that little, I don't know what it was, 10, 13 game winning streak, because then that instilled the confidence. Now the players are buying into what the man's saying, and he can now he can dictate a little bit more what's going on. Now he can call maybe Mr. Tarasenko into his office and say, this is fucking going on. I need you to do a little bit more. And then he has a little bit more power to do that because now they're now you're operating from a different kind of stance. So I think that was huge getting on that little roll there again because they were winning games there that looked like they weren't going to win them. They were coming back and they're winning them. And so once that confidence goes and everyone believes in the coach, what he's saying, because now it's working, that's just half. That's most of the battle right there.
Yeah. Well, hats off to Chief. I mean, he deserves everything that he's getting right now. Probably right. Deserves more.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is the because of the next topic of conversation here is the money that Chief got. You know, a very humble guy, doesn't want to break the bank, and I don't know what he signed for. I'm assuming it's in that range. Mm-hmm. But then you got the Buffalo Sabres, and I don't want to dog on another team, but how many fucking mistakes can you make in a 12-month period, right? First of all, let's talk, they trade Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, bad.
For what? Tage Thompson, basically.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, Patrick Berglund had some struggles, and he left the game temporarily. We hope he's good. Wish him well. Another Swede, fantastic fucking guy. A little polarizing in St. Louis to the point where you had great, really big highs and really big lows with Patrick Berglund. So, but we wish him well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sobotka, once that guy went to Russia, he changed. He for thought sure. He was a fucking finesse player. He got away from, he played so perimeter, it was sickening. You know, he was a guy that played much like Barbashev this year in the playoffs. That's what Sobe used to be, and we never saw that version. So that was an easy one to get rid of.
Correct.
The draft pick ended up being like 31st. In the first round because of their success. So you're willing to part with that for Ryan O'Reilly. And Tage Thompson could be a stud in a couple of years. I don't know. Time will tell. But either way, Kimby, if I presented that trade to you for Ryan O'Reilly, and especially knowing what we know now, it's a no-brainer, right?
Especially when you get to the awards. And he wins the big award, and his name's up there. So you know he's sort of the front runner for the on the Blues organization. He's one of the top players. So, and really got nothing going back to Buffalo. It's just getting laughed at.
And that's what sparked this originally is the Craig Berube talk. Right. So then you got, and I like Jason Botterill. I was a teammate of his in the World Junior Team Canada. Smart fucking kid. I mean, really smart. Yeah. He's worked his way up. I think he's made a couple of decisions that are questionable. One is the O'Reilly trade. And then two, he fires Phil Housley, which, you know, it's not working. Phil Housley's a Hall of Fame talent, unbelievable player. Maybe he couldn't get him going. But then he brings in Ralph Kruger, okay? And he gives Ralph Kruger $5 million a year.
Yes.
Ralph Kruger was last spotted in the NHL in Edmonton.
In Edmonton, yeah.
And where he had a brief stint.
Yep.
Now, he was also involved in the World Cup of Hockey. I think it was Team Europe. That he was a part of, and yeah, but here's the fucking kicker, Kimby. As I'm reading my phone here, and I've mentioned it to you off the air before we started, this guy here was chairman of Southampton Football Club, soccer, like English Premier League. This guy is the chairman. He's not living and breathing and dying hockey.
He's made a lot of fucking money for hardly coaching in the NHL, hasn't he?
He's made a lot of money, got period.
Edmonton. Why would you
leave in that English Premier League? Those guys make bank.
Big money, too, yeah.
So he commanded because of that. He probably said, listen, I'm not leaving my job.
Where was he before Edmonton, though?
He coached in Germany.
Yeah.
He
went in the minors there for a little bit, too.
He went over to Europe, and he coached in Germany. As I'm ripping through his Wikipedia here. Yeah, he coached Duisburg of the German second league from 94 to 98. Then he coached in Austria in 1998. It gets better. Then his tenure with the Swiss national team, which he did a good job. He had led the team to appearances at 2002, 2006, 2010 Olympics, which was big for the Swiss team.
Yeah.
He was a scouting consultant, so not even a scout, for the Carolina Hurricanes. Anyways, he joined the Oilers as an associate coach in 2010, although during his time with the Swiss team, Kruger may have been known as a defensive-minded coach, yada, yada, yada. Kruger was head coach, and this talks nothing about his soccer. But yeah, oh, actually it does. 2014, Kruger made the switch from hockey to football, meaning soccer, becoming director of Southampton. Can you imagine this fucking shit? Yeah, you Buffalo just gave this guy $5 million a year. He doesn't know what fucking sport he wants to be in.
No, exactly. And here's the thing, though, and I'll tell you.
Give Chief 10.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. At least we know what he wants to do.
The one thing I liked about the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, so you had Berube in there, and you had, who's the character in Boston? I can't
Bruce Cassidy.
Cassidy. And,
or Seabass.
Yeah. So, so they're sitting there, but they're coaches that haven't been around a long time. And
well, that's not entirely true.
Well, then
guys have coached in the NHL,
but not for a long period of time.
Correct.
So
I just like to fucking rally a little bit.
They paid their price. They paid their dues. Don't get me wrong. I'll never take that away from them. But it's new blood, and I like to see new blood get thrown into the kit. Now, you know, you get a guy like Q that's won so many games. That's a different animal because he's done that. But sometimes they recycle these coaches, and I get so sick of it, and it makes me mad. So seeing someone new coming in, but now the guy in Buffalo, that's totally new. But
holy shit!
And the scary thing about that is, I think there's some talent there in Buffalo that can be had, and they've had some good draft picks that they made. And
well, they've been last for a while, so
yeah,
they've got their pick of the litter.
So they've had some good goes at it, and I think there's some talent there. But I don't know what this guy's gonna what's I this don't gonna know. Do.
I mean, look, they got a good defensive core. They got that Rasmus Dahlin who is going to probably be, the next coming of Nick Lidstrom. Mm-hmm. He's a tremendous talent. They've got Eichel. He's a tremendous player. Skinner, now, the fuck this. Here's what just blows my mind is now Jeff Skinner just signed an 8-year fucking deal, at $7 million a year. Do you think Jeff Skinner is going to be scoring goals fucking 8 years from now?
No.
It's mind-boggling, and this is what's mind-boggling to me about the league, the owners, the lockouts, all the bullshit that's happened is they've done it to themselves.
Yeah.
2004, I sat out a full season for a lockout because they had to reset and they lowered the bar and gave as many buyouts as you wanted to get your team under $59 million, I think is what it was that year. Well, guess what? We're back to $83 million and they still have guys getting stupid contracts. So anyways, that's not Buffalo's problem. That's a league-wide problem. But I just thought it was interesting for Buffalo to bring in a guy who's been directing soccer for the last, 4 years over in England.
That's crazy.
So now the last thing that we talk about here to wrap things up is a little bit of a shocker. Our boy, your boy.
Not my boy.
PK Subban. The move again.
Do you think it's a shocker though?
He's due $9 million or something this year. 8.9.
Going to New Jersey is a shocker. I didn't see that coming, but
they had $35 million in cap space. So,
but that's that's sort of like the Arizona play when they got Pronger, and Pronger was never going to play for him.
Yeah, but that's it's a little different. Yeah, because they got Pronger, Datsuk, a whole bunch of guys finished Hossa. They all finished their career as Arizona Coyotes and never played a fucking never stepped on the ice for them.
It's a little different. You're right. So I don't know what New Jersey's trying to do there, but I just. You see this guy. I think this is my opinion of the man. I don't know him again. He's got a good looking girlfriend. He's done good there, but he's
which, by the way, if you don't know who his girlfriend is, Lindsey Vonn, Olympic gold medalist, downhill skier,
great skier,
beautiful girl.
But I just don't everything I hear about him. It's sort of like he's a bad apple in the room or whatever. And I think he likes to take a lot of the camera time.
Yeah.
And I think players get mad at that kind of shit. And so there was a time that he was on the ice, but it started to get Mickey Mouse to me. It started to get like a circus when he was out there. He would do things that were really good and he could play the game, but then it turned into a little bit of a circus. And that's the part that I didn't like about him.
So here's my take on PK Subban. And I understand him a little bit because when I came in the NHL, I wasn't like PK Subban, but a little bit. I was one of the first guys walked in. I had tattoos all over me. I had long hair. I had an earring in. People were like, who the fuck is this guy? And my personality and people who listen, I like to laugh and joke and have a good time and push buttons and do all this shit, right? And do crazy shit that nobody gets hurt on. But I was looked at as let's get rid of this fucking guy, So I understand a little bit, and it was different, mind you. I understand a little bit of what PK went through initially, like in Montreal, when he came in guns a-blazing, talking about how he's going to be the best defenseman in team history.
Yes.
Which, by the way, think about that for a second. Let that sink in for a second. But PK Subban, let's go two sides to this. His off-ice personality, take the hockey away, is really good for the game.
Correct.
It's really good to grow the game. And I still will say very, very, whatever, with intensity, that the NHL needs to do a better job of marketing their players. And yep. the players are the number one guys who can start doing that.
Yep.
With social media, with all this other stuff, yes, you can be scared of it. Yes, you have to be careful. Yes, you got to be very aware of what you're doing. For but sure. nothing says you can't do fun things.
Yep.
And PK Subban's an example of that. He gets out there. He's well known. He's one of the most followers in the NHL. Yet there's guys that are way more popular yep. than he is. So he's done a great job of growing the game. He has his little TV shows that he did behind the scenes in Nashville. He had a fucking stand-up comedy show at the All-Star game, which I'm sorry. Maybe it wasn't fantastic. That's hard to do.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Imagine those people that do that for a living for 20, 30, 40 years before they get to get on a stage in prime time.
Yep.
So PK Subban is a very marketable player. He's good for the game in that aspect. But I think what happens to PK is it gets blurred. Mm-hmm. And he goes from that off-ice personality, and it just seeps into the locker room, out onto the ice. And the showman who's over here, you know, off the ice, becomes the showman on the ice.
Yep.
And I think that that becomes a lot for teams to digest sometimes, especially if things aren't going great. I think that the players probably look at it as, hey, like the PK show, like enough. Exactly. Like, go do that next weekend when you're on your time. Right now it's about winning hockey games. I bet the coaches probably struggle with it a little bit because he's probably a guy that tests their patience.
For sure.
Whatever it is, one, he's a tremendous hockey player.
Yes.
He really is. He's an offensive talent for sure. He skates and shoots the puck and handles the puck, I will say, as well as any defenseman in the NHL.
Yep.
Defensively, he's a little irresponsible at times, but nonetheless, he's still a big guy. He has played physical. He's dirty out there. I don't encourage that. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But he is hard to play against.
Yep.
The problem is that I just think that he runs out of runway in these teams. In Montreal, it ran its course. Mark Bergevin, we know Bergie. He just had enough of it, from what I gather. In the locker room, kind of had enough of it. Sent him off to Nashville, got Shea Weber. Bergie took a beating from the media for making that trade, trading one young premier defenseman for a guy that's getting older.
Yeah.
And then Nashville got him, and he was aces right away. And then last year, you could see it kind of running its course. And so he ran out of runway again in Nashville.
Yeah.
And so you have a choice now, because Roman Josi's going to want big money. He's coming up next year. They can work his extension on July 1st. He's their captain.
Yep.
And he's been amazing in Nashville. So you have to pick now between Roman Josi or PK Subban, because they're both the guys that are going to make the big money. Mm-hmm. They picked door number one. They kept Josi and sent PK, you know.
But I'm just surprised you took him. I don't know what Jersey's going to do with
him. Yeah, but are you, though? Think about it. They just got the number one pick in Jack Hughes. They've got Taylor Hall, who is proven now that he's an elite.
Yeah, but there's a shit going on with him, too, that we don't know if he's going to stay there or not, correct? Well,
possibly. Right now, I would imagine they're going to try and keep him.
Yeah.
They're throwing everything at these guys. They've got a lot of money to spend. And in that New York, New Jersey area, those guys are getting endorsements like crazy.
Yeah.
And the Devils, not as much as the Rangers. Islanders are third place on that one. But still, I think that Shiro looked at it and said, we don't have a power play defenseman. And Taylor Hall can only carry us so far. And they've got that Nico Hischier kid that they drafted, who's turned into a hell of a hockey player. Mm-hmm. So if you got Hughes, Hischier, Hall, Subban, I don't know, I forget who else they might have there. I think they got the young Will Butcher kid, but you know, now you're starting to build a team there.
Yeah, I keep thinking to Lou Lamoriello, like, because I don't think he would put up with the shit. You know,
well, no, but that's why Lou's not there anymore.
He's not there, so
you know, the new wave of people, and they had a lot of room to take on that contract.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows what goes on behind the scenes and behind closed doors? But it'll be interesting nonetheless to see two things: one, how he does with that team, how that team does with him, and how long the runway is for PK Subban in New Jersey.
I totally agree.
All right, buddy. We will wrap this up. I don't know when our next show will be. We'll probably try and drop one after free agency hits. So July 1st, maybe the end of that week, we'll talk about maybe some of the Blues moves that they make. But until then, it's been a fucking fantastic season. Yes. And little did we know in November, when we were trading everybody, that we'd be sitting here talking about Stanley Cup parties that both of us are going to.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing to, yeah, exactly. To some players that you were dogging and to what they become. Just by the, you know, by a coach be coming in there and a goaltender getting some confidence in the team. And just to what it, just to see what went down there at the parade, the arch and all that, and all the people that were lined up was just extraordinary. Extraordinary. Great for St. Louis.
It is extraordinary. And what else is extraordinary is the fact that we wouldn't be able to do what we do without a lot of help around here and people who step up for us. And so I want to mention a few people here throughout the season that have done a great job for us and will continue to do that. Innovative Construction. These guys are awesome. Randy Green. Anything you need for your house, outside, inside, you name it, plumbing, electrical, these guys are the best, and they're huge supporters of not only our show, but the St. Louis Blues. So if you need anything, please call these guys, Innovative Construction, get on their website, whatever. I don't care. Text us, message us, and we'll make sure you get their number. Give them a call. Nelson Landscaping, Scott, great friend of ours, tremendous hockey family. Once again, if you're doing work on the inside of your house and doing all that, you might as well do the outside. If that's the case, call Nelson Landscaping. They've been crushing it in Lake of the Ozarks for years, mm-hmm. and now they're moved to St. Louis. I see their trucks all the time all over the place, and when I do, it's usually something amazing that they're creating. So NelsonLandServices.com for that one, to get your outside work done. Buckingham Pest Control, give them a call. They get rid of all the little chromers that are roaming around your house that you don't need. I have called Noel myself. Buckingham Pest Control has helped out at my house, my mother-in-law's house. They're awesome in the St. Charles area, but they do all of St. Louis and area, not on the Illinois side. But still, if you need anything, call these guys. Incredible. And he was giving away tickets all through the playoffs. This guy's a nut in the best way possible. So give Noel a call at Buckingham Pest Control. Want to thank Adam Smokehouse. They've catered a few things that we've done, and it's always amazing. They're big supporters of ours and the St. Louis Blues and pretty much anything that rolls St. Louis. Adam Smokehouse has been there. Their food is tremendous. Get in there. Order the Riv. You have to have somebody with you. That's brisket in there. Brisket to go and make your buddy pay. That's the Riv. Don't forget that. Adam Smokehouse and, of course, Synergy Hockey. Sponsor of the show, which is my company. We do hockey skills, so synergyhockeyskills.com. We run camps, lessons, all that stuff. Almost any kid who's come through St. Louis youth hockey has been out there at some point with Synergy Hockey. So those are all our sponsors. We thank you very much. It's been a fucking amazing ride this year. I thank Darren Kimball for being along, Gary Henson for being along, Jim Cromer, as much as we like to dog on him. We thank him. We thank Lineup Media for having us. And we'll be talking to you guys soon. And hopefully we'll be gearing up for next year. Go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.